This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I meant to make a correction in our last segment after we were done talking with Steven Iga. And the correction was, I had said offhand that Rafael Nadal just waxed Zverev in the third set of their French Open semifinal. As it turned out, Zverev defaulted with an injury at 6-6 in the second set. So that match ended there. But it ended so quickly, and I didn't see an injury. I just assumed that Nadal bageled him in the third. But nothing happens that quickly on the red clay. And we have Casper Ruud and Marin Cilic in the other men's semifinal. Ruud bidding to become the first Norwegian ever, first Norwegian man, I guess, ever in a Grand Slam semifinal. Luke Dukakis of the News and Observer is not eligible for that category, and he joins us as he does every Friday. How are you, Luke?
I'm good. The Zverev thing was nasty. His ankle just completely went out on him, so that was an ugly thing to see.
And I didn't see it, so I just assumed that Nadal just wiped the floor with him in the third set. Let's do a quick post-mortem on the Hurricanes. What do you believe the difference was? Uh-oh. Luke's frozen. And now he's gone. I can only see that on TV. I can only see that on television. Now he's gone. Now we'll have to get Luke back. And if we get Luke back, he'll answer the question, and maybe I'll have to restate the question to him. But Luke was there. Luke is back. All right, Luke Dukakis. Quick postmortem on the Hurricanes. What was the difference in the series, do you believe?
I mean, I honestly think it's finished. They've got plenty of fins. They need more finish. They created chances, even on the power play. Like Micah Blake McCurdy does some really innovative analytics work at HockeyViz. The Hurricanes power play, compared to other power plays in the playoffs, was plus 11% in terms of expected goals generated. But none of that means anything unless you can finish some of this
stuff.
And to me, that's what it comes down to, is the Hurricanes do a terrific job of generating chances, of generating shots, of generating opportunities. But there's two – that takes – all right, so that takes effort. That takes hard work. That takes playing the right style. It takes intention. And the Hurricanes are great at all that. It also takes skill. And the Hurricanes have some of that. They don't have enough of that. So I think this is an opportunity this summer with the Vincent Trocheck money, assuming he leaves for greener in terms of green pastures. You make a deal. You get something from Marty Natchez, who I just think needs a change of scenery. And you can bring in a guy, whether it's a Forsberg or a Fiala, somebody who's a finisher, because I think that's what this team desperately needs. And Andrei Svechnikov should be better at it. Sebastian Aho should be better at it. Seth Jarvis is going to get better at it. But that was a fatal flaw, not even against good goaltending. I mean, the Jeremy Swayman and Linus Allmark are not the same as Igor Shesterkin, but the Hurricanes had the same problems in both series.
And not just in the playoffs, but didn't we see that in the last, say, 30 games of the regular season? Where Carolina would generate all sorts of chances, but still come away with two or three goals?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's nothing anybody's not aware of. The problem is, and I had this conversation with Rod Brindamore in New York, when your system is built on collecting chances, you have to trust that the process will deliver the results, right? That was always Pierre Laviolette too, and similar things. We are going to do the things that will allow us to score goals. Eventually we will score goals. Eventually that's all going to sort itself out in the wash. But in a seven-game series, in the playoffs against better teams, it doesn't always work that way. And they've got to find a way to change the makeup of their roster. I don't think they need to change their philosophy or their system. I don't think this is a strategic problem. I think it's a tactical problem. And they need guys who do – this is a – look, it's a skill. It's measurable. They need guys who have better finishing ability.
Right.
And they need their finishers to finish better. But yes, this is something you could identify. You could see it coming. And it definitely did come back to haunt them. Against the Bruins, too. That game should have been over. That series should have been over in five games. Those teams were not comparable in terms of talent, quite frankly. I still don't think the Rangers were the better team. I think the Hurricanes got upset. They got beat by an inferior team because the Hurricanes did not play to the full spectrum right. of their abilities.
I'm going to disagree with the last part because I don't think there was that big a difference in the difference in goaltending. And this is not to slam the Hurricanes' goaltending, but just more to praise Igor Shesterkin because Carolina had chances in Game 4 to impact the game on the scoreboard, and Shesterkin stood in the way of that. They had chances in Game 6 to do that also in New York, and Shesterkin was too good. And, of course, in the Game 6, Carolina got poor goaltending, which was the first time really all playoffs that they did. Real quick to Marty Natchez. And, by the way, if you're right about Kevin Fiala, that would replace Swiss Nino Niederreiter, who will likely be elsewhere as well, because you have to have somebody from Switzerland for the chocolate alone. In Marty Natchez, what kind of value does he have, in your opinion? I think the organization still believes that there is enough in Natchez to even keep, but I don't know what kind of value he has in order to get something.
Yeah, first of all, I still think there's a path for Nino to come back based on the season that he had. You know, there's a role for him if he's willing to stay, and there's a common ground in terms of price. There's a role for him here at less than what he's making now. He's not coming back at $5 million. There's no doubt about
that. And like how many years? I think the number, the price is less important than the term for Nino.
I think it's 2 years is the number. If he doesn't want to do that, then that's fine. But in terms of Natchez, I mean, this is a guy, he's a first round pick, a top 15 pick. He's very skilled. You could put together a clip reel that makes him look like Connor McDavid if you wanted to. And look, teams will want, like, if you're a team that lacks skill, if you're in Arizona, if you're a Buffalo, you know, I still think that this is the one deal because he was his guy that Ron Francis would make with the Hurricanes. I think Natchez has value because other teams are going to say, like, it's the same thing the Hurricanes did with Ferland or who was the guy? Brian Zingle. We can get more out of this guy than people got out of him before. And someone's going to say that about Natchez because he does have skill and he does have wheels. Every team he's played on up until now has won a championship. So clearly he hasn't held those teams back. But I also feel like what he said yesterday, not about him and Rod not being on the same page. I think that was actually refreshing honesty. I think the thing that he said that to me seals the deal is, I want to play center.
Yeah.
And that opportunity is just not going to be here for him. He is clearly, in the Hurricanes' mind, in a lot of people's minds, not a center. I think Kokiemi's ahead of him on the depth chart. Obviously, Staal is. Obviously, Aho is always going to be. I just don't think there's room here for Marty Natchez as a center. And maybe he has more value trading him to a team that wants to use him in the middle than he does here. And then that frees up the space. Because, look, even as a restricted free agent, even as terrible a season as he had, he's going to get a raise. That's just the way the system works. My question for the Hurricanes is, are you not better off using that money in a different way than you are bringing back a guy who clearly has issues fitting in with what the Hurricanes are trying to do here? Because that's basically what he and Ron Vandermore both said, that they're not on the same page. It's not a great fit here. He wants to be in the middle. He's never going to be in the middle here. He's had chances there. It just seems like it's time for both sides to move on, which is hard with a young guy with the skill and the speed that he does. And people are always like, oh, you're picking on Marty Natchez. But people pick on him because the upside is so obvious, and when he doesn't get there, that's extraordinary. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's funny because I caught that part of the Natchez press conference, and, you know, is there another coach in the NHL that would have given Natchez the opportunities that Rod Brind'Amour did?
No, I mean, never.
Natchez scored 6 goals in his last 59 games, including the playoffs. He was on the second line, and third line probably, with Trocheck and Svechnikov, basically for the entirety of the playoffs and for much of the season. He's getting power play time. I mean, No coach would have given him more.
Never. And you're in a do-or-die game six on the road, and you're using him instead of Jordan Staal on the power play when Jordan Staal's left shin pad was way overdue. I mean, he was way overdue to kick one in. And you're perpetuating this, you know, Nate just throwing the puck up the middle in game five. It's baffling. And look, hey, the Hurricanes won one game seven this year, right? Who was on the Trocheck line on the right wing? It wasn't Marty Natchez. They moved up Max Domi, who was playing great. Domi wins the game for him. Natchez is on the fourth line, plays very sparingly in the third period, and the Hurricanes end up winning a tight game seven. I don't understand. You and I are on the same page in this. I'm preaching to the choir here. I would have absolutely healthy scratched Marty Natchez at some point early in the playoffs as a wake-up call to try to get something out of him, because they just kept repeating the same thing over and over again. And if anything, he got worse over the course of the postseason.
All right. I know you must be down at Pine Needle, so let me throw a little golf at you, Luke DeCock.
You are half right, Adam. You are right about the location, but not about the tournament.
Oh, really? What are you down there?
I'm at a golf tournament.
Oh, at a golf tournament. Okay. Oh, you're at Rex Hospital Open.
Correct.
All right. That's fine too. That actually is even better. I'm sure there's a lot of conversation about the LIV Golf Series up there. We're going to talk to Rick Riley here at the top of the hour about that, but. What are your thoughts on Dustin Johnson at maybe $125 million guaranteed?
You know, I mean, we've never accused DJ of having the most bounce on his wedge, if you get my drift. I just think he doesn't care.
Right.
You know, I mean, to me, this is a flash in the pan. The PGA Tour is always going to be where players want to play. I mean, there's a reason for years that European Tour stars have come over here to play on this circuit. It's the television, it's the prestige, it's the courses. I mean, you're telling me you want to go play these random courses on a web stream, greenwashing Saudi Arabia, instead of playing the Jack's tournament, the Memorial? I mean, forget it. It's not going to last. We all know it. Some guys are making a money grab. That's great. Honestly, given his, you know, relationship with Phil, I'm actually a little surprised that, you know, some of the younger players like Akshay Bhatia didn't take a hack at the money, because... you know, that's big money if you're on the Korn Ferry Tour. But yeah, no, I don't see this as being a long-term viable thing. Honestly, when Greg Norman was doing color commentary at Chambers Bay, and who was it who gagged the putt? Was it DJ who gagged the putt on 18?
Probably, yes. DJ missed the putt that would have forced the playoff.
DJ gags the putt on 18. And Greg Norman, the king gag champion of all time, the one person on the planet who knows what it is to throw away a major through sheer stupidity, says, "I wonder what he's thinking right now." At that point, we all know we can move on from Greg Norman.
Well, here's the thing. I don't believe this is a flash. I don't believe it's a flash. I believe it will be. If the PGA Tour handles this right, and if they get some help from their friends at Augusta, if the Masters backs the PGA Tour and declines to invite anybody who participates in the LIV Series, then I think you've got an issue. I think it's a flash. Too much money.
I think you're still going to have an issue with the fact that avoiding sectional qualifying for the U.S. Open, qualifying for Augusta. Ways to get out of qualifying for the British. These are all based on PGA Tour performance.
Right.
So you're going to have, maybe not for DJ, but you're going to have marginal guys who find themselves playing 36 holes in Rockville when they, instead of getting an exemption into the Open because they didn't have enough FedEx Cup points or didn't finish in the top 10 at the Players or whatever. Like, trust me, if you're used to getting an exemption into the Open, and you have to go through sectional qualifying and do that 36-hole marathon in 120-degree heat in Texas or Tennessee or Maryland or any of the places where they have it every year, you're going to go running back for the PGA Tour to avoid that, because the access to the majors is going to be predicated on some of the stuff, even though none of the majors are run by the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Qualifying for these majors, exemptions for these majors, is based on PGA Tour and European Tour, DP Tour performance.
And World Golf rankings points, which are not going to be available.
Right.
And I keep falling back to the whole reason why these guys are doing it in the first place is because it's an insane amount of money, and the LIV Series has endless amounts of cash. They could double the price, they could triple the price, and they will if they have to, because Greg Norman's on a mission.
Well, these are people who know the price of everything and the value of nothing.
Right. It's not reality. That's not Dustin Johnson is not worth $125 million to stream it on YouTube. It's not even YouTube TV. It's just YouTube somewhere all out there on the internet. I actually think it's got legs unless the PGA Tour does this right and gets some help. Have fun up there at the Rex Hospital Open there, Luke DeCock.
Thank you. We watched Ryan Blom, former Duke star, play well this morning. So,
who's leading?
There's a couple guys at 10. I couldn't even tell you who they are right now. I've been writing, so.
All right, well,
but it's early. It's early.
Go back to work.
Thank you, sir.
Luke DeCock of the News and Observer. We talk to him every Friday at Luke DeCock on Twitter. All right, we've reached the half. Let's do this.
Entertainment.
All right, sir.
Only one up on the board today. Just one. Just one up on the board.
We had a full conversation with Luke DeCock. We just got to it on time.
You did. Now, mentioned earlier croissants, danishes, but today's National Donut Day.
Is it national?
Yeah, I actually have a lot of donuts here in the studio.
Do you really?
Oh, I've got Krispy Kreme. There's some Dunkin', some local stuff such as...
What do you mean local stuff? What local stuff do you have in there?
Bright Spot right here in Raleigh.
I have
Five
not,
Points.
I have not experienced Bright Spot.
I have one for you, sir.
Okay.
As well as Baker's Dozen, which is also located here in the Triangle.
Nothing from Rise.
No, I did not get
Nothing
Rise.
From Duck.
No, Duck's a national chain.
Is it real?
Oh, yeah. Duck's a national chain.
I have to sharpen my donut knowledge.
Yeah.
I did not know Duck was national.
I've always known Duck is national.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they've got them up in Virginia.
Well, it could be regional.
Sure.
I didn't know it was a chain. I knew there were a couple of locations. But either way, I happen to like me a good Duck donut. But all right, Bright Spot, you say?
Yeah, Bright Spot. Oh, they got Duck donuts are basically all east. No, they actually have some all the way out in Southern California, too.
Right,
so I'm about to say east of the Mississippi. But
is it also National Cheese Day?
I don't. Why would we put National Cheese Day on the same day as National Donut Day?
I don't
Who
know.
Who came up with the calendar?
I don't know. I thought I saw that on Twitter.
National Cheese Day. I'm going to have to find out. But I know today's National Donut
Day. Oh, tomorrow is National Cheese
Day. Tomorrow is National Cheese Day. You're trying to throw me off. You got me all confused.
I apologize. Oh, man.
We should rank off types of donuts and types of cheeses.
We could absolutely rank
off. Do it right now.
I mean, if you want to, I can.
All right, number three for me for donuts, just a nice sugar cinnamon twist, like yeast donut, which like soft. Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah
I get it. It's not on my list, but that's fine.
Number two for me, just a straight up glaze. Just keep it simple, glaze. Oh, if you can do a glazed donut well, it's like doing cheese pizza well. If you can make a cheese pizza amazing, I know anything else I put on there is going to be great. If you can make a great glazed donut, every other donut you make should be great. And number one, a buttermilk donut.
A what?
Yes. Oh, that's buttermilk donut.
You mean a biscuit?
No. Donut.
Really?
Yes.
All right. As a kid, my favorite donut growing up was just a simple, and you get these at Dunkin' Donuts, the chocolate honey dip donut.
Mm.
Which sort of glaze, but it doesn't have it's not like a gooey glaze on it,
mm-hmm.
but it's a chocolate cake donut. Boston cream, I mean, undefeated, honestly, to me, Boston cream. And then just a plain cake donut.
Okay.
Nothing on it, just a plain cake donut.
I respect
See,
that.
See, you notice the whole cotton candy donuts at Krispy Kreme? Just can't. I just can't. I mean, they're fine. I'm not knocking them.
You mean like these Krispy Kreme donuts I got
exactly.
right here?
Yeah, exactly.
You mean these Krispy Kreme donuts?
Yep,
you're going to disparage these?
I'm not disparaging
North Carolina
them.
Made?
I'm not disparaging
born and
them.
Raised.
I'm just saying it's not for me. Not for me. It's okay. Tomorrow is National Cheese Day.
Yeah.
Dennis, you and I will come in on the weekend and do
yes.
4 minutes ranking our favorite
yes.
cheeses.
We should definitely do that.
I've got cheese.
What is your number one, by the way, for
my
donuts?
My number one donut?
Yeah.
I just gave you my number one donut. Just the cake donut.
Oh, just the cake donut?
The plain cake donut. The Boston cream.
Boston cream. I'm sorry. I missed the Boston cream. Also, tomorrow, National Hug Your Cat Day.
Is it? I don't have a cat. I'm allergic. We have cats, but I'm allergic to cats. I will not be hugging it.
Okay. Well, play it safe.
Yes, I will.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's retiring.
Nine different NFL teams.
In 17 seasons.
Could you name the nine teams?
Oh, I'm going to take a shot at this. Okay, obviously, most recent, Washington. He's played for Miami. He has played for Buffalo.
Yes.
Tampa Bay.
They played for Tampa?
I think he played for Tampa before Brady got there. Buffalo, Tampa, Miami, Washington.
I can't do it.
He was with the Jets for a bit, I believe.
He actually won 10 games as the quarterback of the Jets. They lost their last game, and they failed to make the playoffs. And that's when the Jets realized, you know what? Not that good.
I want to say he also played for the Texans.
He did play for Houston, yes.
All right, so do I have six so far? Do I have six right? Miami, Washington, Tampa, Buffalo.
You got the Buccaneers, right? I would not have gotten that.
Jets, Texans. Who else has he played for?
Bengals.
Bengals. Okay, he was a backup with the Bengals for a bit.
Titans.
Yes, Tennessee.
Rams.
Really, the Rams?
Played three games for the Rams.
Okay, well, good for him. But props to him. 17 seasons, nine teams.
Never that good. Good enough to kind of show you that he could be a starter. And then when he's your starter, you're like, not that good.
Yeah.
Not that can't really win with him, but, I mean, you're not going to suck with him.
Yeah. I mean, you might.
Yeah, you might.
Also, happy birthday, McLovin. McLovin turns 41 years old today.
Wow.
For anyone who watched the movie Superbad. Okay, so for context, for those who may not remember, in the movie Superbad, McLovin's fake ID today, June 3rd, was his birthday.
I thought you were talking about Andrew Perloff.
No.
Legitimately thought you were talking about Andrew Perloff. And McLovin. I'm like, he's only 41?
McLovin's 41
today. Okay. Shouts to Andrew Perloff. I don't even know what he's doing. He used to be with the Dan Patrick Show. I don't believe he's with them anymore. I think he has his own gig somewhere on CBS Radio. But, shouts to Andrew Perloff either way.
But, yeah, McLovin, his ID, June 3rd, 1981 was his birthday. So he's 41 years old today. So happy birthday, McLovin. Also, as I mentioned yesterday, but to remind everyone out there, The Boys Season 3 starts today on Amazon Prime. I cannot wait to watch that.
I have seen a number of people who have already seen it.
Raving about it.
Absolute, over the top raving about it.
Yes.
So
I'm very excited. Good. The first two seasons were great.
Good for that. I mean, I have not watched it, but it's kind of making me want to watch it now.
Do it. Don't let your kids watch it. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I'll try not to. I guess.
It is not for Jack's age, I can tell you that.
Maybe I won't let him watch it.
There you go. Also, about 4 weeks or so ago, the Discovery, Warner Brothers had their big merger, Discovery Plus and all that. Well, Discovery Plus is adding some original content, including Grammy-nominated songwriter and pop star Kesha.
Okay.
Who is now going to have her own paranormal show.
Kesha's going to have her own paranormal show?
Yes, that's right. Yesterday, Discovery Plus revealed some of their first details, even had a trailer for the show called Conjuring Kesha, a new unscripted series that will be available on the streaming service beginning with two episodes dropping on July the 8th. This series will see Kesha explore the nation's biggest mysteries, including haunted locations and supernatural phenomena, with exciting celebrity guests and experts in the unexplained. That's right. First season will be 6-hour-long episodes.
All right. Have you ever watched one of these paranormal shows?
Yeah, actually, I have. I have, too.
Yeah. Both of my kids were into it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. The level of, I don't know how you can be over 15 and not laugh hysterically at the stupidity that's on television.
Oh, yeah.
For those on those particular shows. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how you can be over 15 and not go, oh, these people are all out of their freaking minds.
Well, Kesha will be joined for at least a bit by Whitney Cummings as they explore demonic activity at Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. Also,
why is that name familiar?
Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary?
No, Whitney Cummings.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, she's a comedian.
Oh, okay.
And then also, she'll be joined by the Bachelorette star JoJo Fletcher as the two of them go into California's Mount Shasta in search of Bigfoot.
Okay, then.
Hey, we need... You know what? You need to fill time, I guess.
We have a comedian, Kesha, and a reality TV participant on a paranormal show.
Yep. Yes. So.
Yep.
That's really all I have.
Gosh, that's just absolutely awful.
I'm just sitting there wondering, someone actually thought this was a good idea.
Look, Vanilla Ice.
You know what? Let's do it.
Vanilla Ice, whatever his name is. I don't know if he still has or not. What?
I said Vanilla Ice is not his name?
No, it's not his name.
Oh.
He had his own, show on HGTV. They actually did very good rental work.
Really?
Serious. No, I'm legitimately not, kidding around. They did awesome, remodeling for rooms and whatnot. Yeah, it was, those shows I can watch.
Yeah.
All those... I can't do the Love It or List It. I can't do that stuff. And I had a hard time at the end with the Property Brothers thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like it, but I didn't. It was too contrived to me. But were they, I used to do Yard Crashers or, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Every single one of them had a fire pit in the backyard. I guess that's a big deal.
I do love a fire pit.
I guess. A water feature. They all have fire pits and water features.
Okay.
Fire and water together, yeah, probably pretty good.
Yeah.
You might need the water for a fire pit. But, yeah, those shows I can do. But the paranormal stuff? Mountain monsters or... God, stop. Just stop.
You know they filmed a lot of Love It or List It in Raleigh, right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They absolutely did. I was over whatever both of their names were. I didn't like either of them.
Yeah.
Didn't like either of them. Anyway.
That's all I have.
With that said, we will add up and even subtract winnings next. I have a late loss to subtract from the coffers. I was at 790. We're now down to 690 because Rafael Nadal was a winner. So let me make that correction. And let's see if we can't make that back.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can own me. I owe you nothing.
So I saw on Twitter the other day, it's a friend of ours, Connor O'Neill, who covers Wake and Duke. So he was... I was out in the... I think I was on a mower.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at my timeline. He goes, nervous for at a gold fan, and it's not even my money. And I believe it was first period Rangers Lightning
tie,
right?
Tied.
Because they finished 1-1 after one.
Yeah.
I never watched it. I just saw the score. I had to remind him that it ain't my money either. It's nobody's money.
They're just units.
They're just units. And I want to thank Steph Curry for getting me 250 units yesterday for making the first three of the game at plus 250. That was actually the favorite. So I had the favorite at plus money. So I was pretty excited about that. So I'm at plus 690. Dennis is not at plus 690.
No.
You went 1-2 yesterday. You had the Celtics on the money line. That
I
was
did.
Good. You had the Oilers also on the money line. Not good.
I'm not going to lie. That shocked me.
And you had Spain, Portugal...
I'd Spain winning.
But they drew.
Yes.
They drew yesterday.
Should have taken the draw.
You should have taken the draw. All right, you can start us off.
All right, I'm going to go to the UFC this weekend. Heavyweight matchup, Alexander Volkov Jaron Hezo. You bet on, like, I don't even know who it was. Alexander Volkov versus Jaron Hezo Rozenstrike heavyweight title fight. Not title fight, but it's a heavyweight fight. Main event tomorrow. So five-round fight. Give me Volkov winning this one by either knockout, TKO, or DQ, plus 275. He's a minus 160 to win overall, but I haven't won him by knockout, TKO, or DQ.
Okay, whatever. I'll take your word for it. I will take your word for it. All right, good for you. All right, I'm gonna start with tonight's hockey game.
Okay.
All right. The Rangers, who beat Tampa 6-2 in game one, and Vasilevsky, Andrei Vasilevsky, has not lost consecutive postseason games in 3 years. The Rangers are getting plus money at home. I am taking the Rangers at plus 115 to buck the trend and hand Vasilevsky his second consecutive postseason loss. So give me the Rangers at plus 115.
Okay, I'm going to go PLL, Premier Lacrosse League. They get underway this weekend because, of course, they do. Give me the Atlas over the Redwoods. I'm parlaying Saturday's games together. Give me the Atlas over the Redwoods.
What?
Give me the Atlas over the Redwoods. Atlas, their attack is stacked.
Oh, of course they are.
They are absolutely.
Are these all the games in Albany?
Yes.
Okay.
All the games are in Albany. So, again, I'm going to go with Atlas over the Redwoods on the money line. Also, give me the defending champs, the Chaos, as well over the Whipsnakes. Whipsnakes won the first two titles.
The Whipsnakes?
Yes, Whipsnakes won the first two championships. Chaos beat them in the championship game last year. Give me Chaos over Whipsnakes, Atlas over Redwoods, plus 361.
Okay.
Parlay that together.
Sure. Sure. That's perfect. all right. With the Warriors' loss to the Celtics last night, you can now get the Warriors to win the series at plus money.
Really?
Yes. Give me the Golden State Warriors at plus 140 now to win the NBA Finals.
Nice.
Waiting. Patience has its perks. So I will take the Warriors at plus 140 now to win the NBA Finals. There you go.
All right, I am going to go Sunday in the PLL. I'm going to parlay those two games together. I'm betting against the spread on both of these games. Give me the Water Dogs minus 1.5 against the Cannons. And even though the Archers are without Grant Amat at attack because he's a lower body injury, I'm still going to take the Archers minus 2.5 over the Chrome. That's a plus 300.
Okay, fine. That will work. All right, and my final one. My final
you
one.
You are not intrigued at
I don't
all.
Care. Whatever.
It doesn't matter.
You're doing UFC and
people
I don't
watch
know,
this
and
stuff.
Gym class.
Not gym class. Dare you call lacrosse gym class.
Gym class. All right. And meanwhile, I am doing Nations League soccer.
Exactly. Exactly my point.
Can I just say that I'm probably better at soccer than I am right now at any other sport.
I know, that's the thing.
I'm bad.
That's the scary part.
I'm bad. I'm still living, legitimately, I'm still living off of like a 1,200 unit hit from the first day we did this.
That's true, are.
I am under 500 except for that. All right, Belgium, Netherlands. I'm not doing Denmark, France. It's a little bit too much to ask Denmark to beat or draw France in France, but I'm doing Belgium and Denmark. Belgium and the Netherlands. The Netherlands has a great, great team. So does Belgium. And this is a very, very close match. I'm not sure these nations are big rivals or not, but I will take this to end in a draw. Like, both sides are plus money to win. Belgium's at plus, like, 135, and the Netherlands, like, plus 180. But I'm going to go with a draw. With Belgium and the Netherlands at plus 240. Is Courtois going to do the same thing he did to Liverpool in the Champions League final? I mean, that's crazy. So, I'll take this to end in a draw.
This is the Adam Gold Show.